This is Radio Kate. I'm down in Brighton for the Great Escape Conference. Day one, we've had the first session. A keynote from Chris Carey from PRS, and then a nice panel discussion about the future of music and how to make money from it. And with me is, I'm going to let you introduce yourself.
Record producer Steve Levine.
And can you just sum up what you were talking about just this morning?
Well, I suppose the crudest way is how the hell you monetize making records or recordings in this current climate. So that was the general topic, although we were floating into areas of live music as well as recorded music.
So the one graph that Chris put up, we've been saying he didn't have any pretty graphs in his presentation, put one up. I didn't think actually if you're in the music industry you would think it was that pretty, because one of the things it seemed to say was that as a percentage of people's money being spent, less of it was going on to music. I mean, did that worry you? The panel came on and seemed very positive. I just wondered what your comment was.
Well, the panel was positive, and I think generally speaking, creativity is at probably an all-time high. I really genuinely believe that, certainly in my own personal case. When I look at the bands I'm working with, one of the good things I see is that if I go to a sound check, for example, in the afternoon for a particular band, there'll be three other bands sound checking. So in a given week, I could see six, seven more bands. Nothing to do with me, but just get a sort of barometer of what's out there. And the quality of musicianship, artistry, songwriting, it's all very, very high. So at that level, I think it's really good. The figures that were on the various pie charts are previous figures. So they probably look a bit negative, but that's not where we are right at this minute. I think, like all data, isn't it? It's historical as opposed to futuristic. So I think that certainly was true of how it was in the last 6 months or so. But it's shifting sands all the time. People are trying different things. So whilst you might think that certain sales are down, others are up, and different areas are booming.
So gazing into the future, where do you think the money will be? Are we talking about physical records? Is it more on the downloads, more on the merchandise and actually the live acts? Where do you think the future of music is?
It's going to come from different areas. I think in physical, there's still CDs are, people sort of write CDs off. CDs still sell in bucket loads to the majority of people. Not everybody has an iPod. Not everybody has an MP3 player. So I think it's unfair to dismiss it. And the examples that were quoted of Adele and Plan B, those sold predominantly in CDs, and they sold predominantly from traditional stores, which I thought was encouraging, as opposed to always online and downloads. In terms of the bands themselves, their sales probably at the cooler end, I would say very good quality vinyl packages, very good quality CD or flash drives or some other form where there's more than just the CD. I bought a CD recently that had a superb booklet with it. It was a 100-page booklet that had really brilliant stuff, because just like the print world was worried that digital would ruin the print world, I still like holding a book, and this CD
came. I was actually going to ask, because one of the things I like about having CDs is looking through, maybe having the lyrics, being able to sing along. Not that I would admit that generally.
Well, then you need the sing tune app for that.
Oh, absolutely. But I mean, is that something that record companies are thinking about, putting a bit more effort into those kind of physical booklets to ensure that those sales continue?
I think that's certainly true of the smaller record companies, because they have the time, they have the relationship with their artist, and they allow the artist that level of creativity. They don't just go, oh, we have a team that does this. They'll let the band do it. So I'm always encouraging my artists. In fact, on all my artists' releases, the sleeve notes, the design layout has been a view of everybody in the band. So either the lead singer's drawn the front artwork and someone else has done the layout, or it's been a combination of things. And then finally, when they've given me all the bits, if I've needed it typesetting, I'll use the old-fashioned word, then I will go to someone professional just to lay it out so it meets the standards required. But generally, I want that input, because that's part of the creativity that stems from the artist. It's not just the songwriting, it's all other things. So I will always encourage it, and maybe the bigger records may not encourage that quite as much.
I still think that's quite important, because that helps develop the relationship with the purchaser of the music, you know, to have that insight into what the band is thinking and what they've done.
Yeah. You know. And very often it's an extension of their lyric writing, it's an extension of their view of the band, because sometimes the picture images reflect the tone of the music. And for example, the artist I'm just releasing her new EP, Natalie McCall, the song is entitled Black Sun. So two things have happened. First of all, we wanted an image that had a warm sun glow to it. So the sleeve is predominantly orange. But one of the things that happened on the previous single was when my daughter knows the Hawker Remix team, so they and they're big fans of Natalie, so they said, oh, could we remix the first EP, which I let them do. When I was preparing the sleeve, I thought, wouldn't it be interesting if we had a negative of the sleeve, as in the opposite way around, as opposed to a positive. Negative in imagery, not negative as in negative. And it created a very interesting blue hue when I was fiddling around with Photoshop. I thought, well, that's very, very interesting. And we've carried that across to this new EP. And the guys that did the video incorporated a small amount of that imagery in the video. So that is, to me, a great way of joining up imagery and music.
One of the other things that you said on stage, which particularly attracted my attention, because I've also had to deal with the American Embassy in London, and their extortionately priced phone line. I mean, you were saying that bands are having problems getting over to play in America. I mean, is that really the biggest issue?
No, this was... I read an article that there were a number of fans, and I can't remember. It's a very high number. It may have been as high as 300. I can't remember. You'll have to check the... it was either Music Week or it was in possibly Music Ally. I can't remember where I read it. But there was a large number of bands that had applied for their visas and couldn't go. So that presumes they paid for everything and the visas have been delivered late, which meant they couldn't go. And that's not fair, because it cost the band about South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. That's meaning that bands have spent probably around £1,000, because I believe that's the figure that it costs when you pay the... which you have to pay in cash as well. You have to pay cash to get that... I mean, the whole thing's extortionate, and it really does need to be sorted out. This government really needs to have some really good rules about it. We need to set up a level playing field. If Americans want to come over here and enjoy the lovely venues that we have and the English fans, and I'm not saying there should be an embargo. I'm absolutely not saying that, because I love and adore American music, and I'm a big American fan, and I have friends in America. I'm not saying that. I just think the two governments need to set up some kind of level playing field specifically for artists, so that if US artists want to tour here, they're free. I mean, they're certainly freer than English going to America. And if English artists want to go to America to perform or do promotional activities, there's some kind of fast track, and it's much easier and also much, much cheaper, because it's artificially high. It doesn't cost them that much to process that data. It really doesn't. It's very, very unfair.
And, I mean, do you think that affects the music that we're seeing in the UK in terms of, like, the American bands coming out? Do you think they're pushing out some of the English bands from even UK then?
Well, I think it is true, because if... You know, obviously, English fans want to hear American music, and again, I'm not preventing that or wanting to stop that, but there's only so many slots, and if more bands are coming over because it's easier for them to come over and they're seeing a market for their music here, where are the English ones going to go? Because they can't then do the same in America. Because what's interesting, of course, American artists here are cool and have a special cachet, but that is absolutely true of English artists in America. But we can't get there as economically. So it just needs to be sorted out so that so the Americans can enjoy English music and have the cachet of English music, and vice versa.
That's great. Thank you ever so much.